All right. Good morning. All right. I'm smiling because God is good, not because I'm having a good day. No, but God is good, and I'm blessed to be here and blessed to be standing before you again, bringing you a message that He placed on my heart really, really many, many months ago. I kind of been wrestling with it myself. And this morning, I always love to bring messages that speak to where I've been through rather than what I'm going through, even though, you know, because this one's as much for me as it is for you. And but it's an encouraging message. And once again, the concerns and trials of life had me not wanting to even deliver the message again. And so keep praying for the preacher, because it has been very difficult to get up here. And so I appreciate the opportunity for me to exercise my courage and strength through it all as well. And so, committed to God's best. That's the question that He keeps asking me. Is that, Andre, are you committed to the best that I have for you? Are you committed to it? Or are you okay with just going through life, making it to the end, and then spending eternity with me? Or do you want your best life now? What does that look like? And so, God's best is directly linked to our relationship with Him. Directly. It's directly linked to our relationship with Him. It's directly linked to you abiding in Him. It's directly linked to you, how much of His Word that you actually apply into your life. And so, we pray for a lot of different things. In this season, what I'm praying for is God's presence. You know, that's the biggest thing that I need in my life right now. It's the biggest thing all of us need. And in fact, Jesus coming to the earth, that was one of His primary concerns. It was to get us to heaven, but it was also to restore that presence of God in our lives in order for us to live conquering lives here on earth. And so, each one of you has a specific design, a specific gifting, a specific task or set of tasks that you were charged and given before you even came to earth. And the question that you have to ask yourself is, are you walking in it? I'm here to challenge a little bit this morning, a lot of it this morning. Are you walking in it? Are you doing it? Or are you just getting by? You know, I don't care. You can be rich, you can be poor. You can be happy, you can be sad. You know, you can have a family, you can live alone, and still be walking directly in God's purpose or not in God's purpose. All right? Your life isn't going to look like mine. Every person that walks in God's purpose won't stand behind a lectern and preach. But every Christian, every person really has been given a specific gift that is to be used to glorify and honor God. And, you know, central to your business and your day should be either finding it if you don't know what it is, or walking in it if you do know what it is. And oftentimes you're not going to feel like it, or the concerns and cares of life is going to drain you and stop you and prevent you from walking in this purpose, in this destiny. I really believe that God placed a seed inside of each one of you, and He's waiting to birth that seed and bring it into fruition and manifest some things that we can't even imagine. And so today I want to go into what it looks like to begin seeking that out if you don't know what it is. And I'm going to use a story that most of you probably are familiar with, maybe not, but we're going to be in the book of Joshua today. We're going to be in the book of Joshua. You can go ahead and go to Joshua 1. It's one of my favorite Old Testament stories, and how Joshua led the people of God, the children of Israel, into the promised land. Promised land. What is the promised land? No. Canaan? Definitely, it was a physical place that the children of God promised the the children of Israel it was a specific place that he promised them, but it's also referring to the new heaven and the new earth. Essentially, that's where we're going. What I love about the Old Testament is the Old Testament gives us some insight. You can see Jesus in the message of Christ all throughout the Bible, not just in the New Testament. If you look back in the Old Testament, you have these devices, these literary devices called types. And the Promised Land is also a type that represents the place where you have found that union, where you have found that presence, where you have found that abiding, and you and God are walking hand, foot, in step with one another, and God is guiding you all the days of your life, and Lord, please, I need to get there. And maybe I am there, and it just doesn't feel like it, because sometimes we can be led by our feelings, and sometimes we want the presence of God to remove those negative feelings, but the presence of God doesn't always remove those feelings. The presence of God doesn't always make you feel at peace. But He has promised us a time and a place and a state of being when we will be there. And so when you think of the Promised Land, think of, yes, a place, physical place, yes, a future reality of the new heaven and the new earth, but think about restoring the relationship that was severed when Adam and Eve failed to trust God, when you failed to trust God. When we sinned against God, it created a separation between us and God, and that separation has us living out of balance in terms of His purpose for His life. Your purpose can be found from your design. It's directly lined up with your design, your strengths, your passions, and what the Word of God and the Spirit of God reveals to you. All right? And so the Promised Land, this promised place, this place of fulfillment, this place of abundance, isn't necessarily about money. Once again, it's not necessarily always about emotions. But I believe that inside of millions of people, if not everyone, that there's this yearning for something more. There's this yearning for something deeper with God. There's this yearning for something that is missing. I know there is in my life. And, you know, I work hard. I pray daily. I minister to others. But there's still this yearning for more with God. And I believe that He wants to meet me in that place. I believe that He wants to meet me in that place. And so we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1. Okay? And once again, I want you to focus on, are you committed to God's best for you? The great thing is that God's best doesn't rely on us. The great thing is that God's best, first of all, relies on a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that most of us in here have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but if you don't, see me after church and we can get in there, you know, because that's really the first step. You have to be born again. You have to be born again. I'm not talking about going to church every week or paying. I'm talking about born again, the Holy Spirit of God empowering you to live this thing out. Because without that, none of this means anything. This is just be another, some more self-help. It's not self-help. That's the issue. That's where we started going wrong, is that we started trying to do things on our own. I mean, anybody in here try to do things on their own? And like, it's me, it's like I almost get amnesia sometimes. And I'm like, wait a minute, God, I know I can't do this. And then I'll go for a few weeks or months, and then I'll go back to doing things. We just kind of like slowly gravitate to doing things on our own. And then when I look up, everything's messed up. It's messed up. Like, where did I go wrong? Oh, man, funny story. So I bought this. electronic Black Friday. This was my only Black Friday thing that I wanted. Is I wanted the keyless deadbolt. You just put the code in and do all of that stuff, right? And so I bought it Black Friday. Good price, Lowe's. And so I installed it and messed it up. So I didn't read the directions because the directions were in Spanish. So I'm like, I can just go by the pictures. I'm going to just go by the pictures. I had to remove some wood out of the frame of my door. It was all kind of stuff. It turned into this big thing. Guys, you know how when you start projects, things just get out of hand. You're like, this is getting out of hand. So eventually I got the lock in. I got the door lined up the way that it was supposed to be lined up. I got the code in, and I'm like, all right, I'm about to rekey this thing so we can use our same key, and we're good to go. But I didn't read the directions. Then read the instructions. And so I put our old key in first and put in the smart key, and I deprogrammed the thing to where it doesn't lock on anybody. It doesn't work on any key now. And so I tell you all of that because instructions, there's a specific way to do things. And God gives us some instructions here. And when we don't follow the instructions, we get out of balance. We get off kilter. And like when we're disconnected from God in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, and we're focusing more on us and more on what's happening around us, we look up and we're like, man, how did I get here? And so I want to take you to Joshua 1. All right. Let me get to Joshua 1. I'm going to get to Joshua 1. You know, man, Joshua 1 is good. So God has promised you a blessed life beyond what you can imagine. That's one of your first point. He promised you a blessed life. You got a lot of preachers and teachers who get up and preach prosperity in terms of wealth. You say it, it comes. They're liars. You know what I'm saying? God does want you to live an abundant life. Okay, it is possible that God will bless you with financial wealth, but for the majority of us, that is not what God has destined for the majority of us on earth. And in fact, most of us wouldn't be able to. If you're not handling what you have now, you wouldn't handle more any better. So trust me, it may be a blessing that you don't have. Some people say, "Oh, the wealth and prosperity is also about your physical health." And if you claim it and you say it, then God's going to make it happen. Well, what your ailment may be to bring him honor and glory in some form or fashion. We don't know what God's plans are. But the blessed life that I'm referring to is that you experience peace, joy, and love, and you're walking in the purpose for which God actually created you to walk in. Could you imagine, like, how your life would be if you knew that you knew every single day that you were doing exactly what God created you to do? I mean, I'm trying to, like, there's certain times where I am walking in my purpose, so I know what it feels like, and I'm like, ooh, God, I want to stay in this spot all the time. And imagine if, like, masses and masses of people, the church, like, knew that they were walking in their purpose every single day. We would be blessed. We would be a blessing to the world. All right? That's the new heaven and new earth, all right? All right? But God has promised you a blessed life beyond what you can imagine. Because sometimes, doesn't it feel like, if you're honest with yourself, that the life that God has called us to is a life of suffering? And it is a little bit. He did call us, it's a little bit of suffering in the Christian life. This is suffering in everybody's life. Yes? But He also called us to a blessing. God isn't just sitting up there like, let me see how hard I can make their day today. And I think some Christians believe that because of their circumstances. I'm telling you, God has something for you that is beyond what you can imagine if you will commune with Him, if you will abide in Him. And I'm giving you some specific steps and ways to do it today. We're going to learn from Joshua, because right here in the book of Joshua, they're about to head into the promised land. They had just spent 39, almost 40 years in the wilderness because they didn't trust God enough to go into the promised land when He told them it was time to go. Moses has just passed away at the start of Joshua 1. Their leader, their connection to God, their voice from God, the intermediary between God, the one who brought them the word, he has just passed away, and they have just got done with their 30 days of mourning. Anybody mourning in here? And the thing is, like, someone doesn't have to die in order for you to be mourning. My wife taught me this. We grieve all different types of things. We grieve when we lose jobs. We grieve when we lose relationships. We grieve when we make mistakes. We grieve when we're trying to pull ourselves out of this state of mind, this depression, and we're unable to get out of there, so we just go into this cycle of grieving and then getting a little bit better and grieving and getting a little bit better. And so the people of God are there right now. They're grieving the loss of their leader. They don't have a connection between God and themselves right now. What are we going to do? And they're on the edge of the River Jordan. And in verse 1, they're in a time of transition. I don't know if you're in transition now. If you want to be in transition, some of you probably want to be in transition. You want to get out of the state you're in. You want to start moving into a different direction, but you found it difficult. And so God has given me and He's given you some instructions today. And I'm preaching to myself. I'm starting to feel good now. And then He says, verse one. And I'm reading from, I was supposed to show you some promises first. Obviously, I'm ready to get into the text because there were some promises that I studied. These promises are first on one because I would have skipped over them because I was feeling good for a second. By which you have given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Great promise. That was for me. He's given us promises so that we may partake in the divine nature. Spirit of the living God living in you. Come on, man. Woo-wee. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's a promise. There's promises all throughout Scripture. I recommend that if you don't have like a book or some index cards or something, that you write promises and you post them around, especially when you're going through like times of anguish, mental, emotional, physical, like I am. Post them up. Post them up on the wall. Say them to yourself. Declare them. Believe them. Align your mind, your frequency, your way of thinking with the way of God. God says when we don't honor Him and we don't acknowledge Him, He gives us over to a debased mind, meaning your mind actually starts, the frequency is actually at a lower level. So there's no way for you to actually walk in your purpose if your mind is operating at a lower frequency than what it's supposed to be operating. Faith, power, and love, and trusting in Jesus Christ actually increases mental brain waves. Check it out. You got to check me out on that. You know what I'm saying? You got to check me out on that. All right. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I say this one to a whole bunch. This is one of my favorite ones. This is what I teach my kids. If we confess our sins, because a lot of our kids have issues acknowledging when they've done wrong, I'm telling them, like, as soon as you can acknowledge your error, the better off you're going to be. I encourage you to do that. All right? He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Promises. Promises, brother. And so it says, if my people are called by my name, Fort Wayne, Indiana, please, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. This needs to be proclaimed everywhere in this day and age. Things are just getting out of hand. And yeah, He gave those to the Israelites and the Hebrews, but I'm claiming that one. I'm claiming that. And so you must take possession of the land. And so we're going to look at this real quick. Because God has given us these gifts, but many of them are conditional. Many of them have to be appropriated. We have to walk and do certain things. And so we're going to look at what the people of God had to do. But we're looking at it through the lens of how God interacted with Joshua. So I want you to be Joshua today. I want you to be Joshua. You're not necessarily going to have to lead 2 million people into God's promise. But you might need to be leading yourself and maybe a handful of others over into a new relationship with God. Over into a new experience. Over into a new way of thinking. Over into a new way of living. And so verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James. My favorite. New King James is where I'm coming out of. If you have an electronic device and you want to be with me, I didn't put it up on the screen. So hopefully you brought your Bibles. Verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Came to pass. Moses is dead, but God shows up. I want you to remember this, that God is always going to show up for you. As we're going to read here in a second, it may seem like He's been quiet. It may seem like you're in a time of grieving and transition or depression or a place that you don't, or sadness or desiring more, you know, of God, or more of your spouse, or more of your family, or more of your kids, or more, and you just like, God, I just want to break through this thing. And there may be this silence for a time, but God is going to show up. God is going to show up. He's going to speak to you. That's one of the first ways that He reveals Himself, through His Word. But you hear His voice, and you got to know the Word in order to hear His voice. And I'm getting ahead of myself. And then it says, so verse 1, Moses' assistant saying, this is what God said to Moses, said to Joshua, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Yes, I understand the circumstances that you're in. I understand that you are grieving. But he says, now therefore, arise. This is what he said to me this morning, because I didn't feel like getting out of bed this morning. He said, arise. No, seriously, I laid there till like 9 o'clock trying to, oh my goodness, get up. Get up, boy, get up. Arise. And this isn't just because they were in a time of mourning, so they would have been in sackcloth and ashes. This is their national leader. Imagine our national leader dying. And we're on the edge of the promise. And he dies. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. We thought you was going over there with us. No, he ain't going. And so they're looking around like, who's going to lead us? And God, you know, he shows up and he lets Joshua know that it's you. He said, arise, get up. Not just physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. What do you got to do to get up? What do you got to do? You know what you got to do. Like, man, you got to fight through this. He said, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And so there's that land that we talked about. This is that promise, Christine. This is that promise. There's a promise. You know, I've been talking to you a long time now, you know, from this here place. There's this place that he wants to take you, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And he said, arise. It's time to cross over into it. I don't know. I haven't obtained it. I haven't got to the place that he's showing me. Not this place. Not the specific place that I'm talking about, and where Joshua is about to move. I haven't gotten there yet, and I'm like, God, but I want to go. And he'd say, okay, well, these are the instructions that I'm going to give you, and the first thing I need you to do is I need you to arise. Arise. Stop mourning. Take up your mantle. What is it? Is there something that you need to take up? Is there something on your mind or on your heart, a responsibility? Is there something else that you need to take up? Something that you need to do, some people that you need to bring with you. I don't know what it is. These are just the things that come to my mind as I'm going through this thing. But one of the things is that we must take possession of what God has given us. And in order to take possession, you have to arise. You have to get up. You have to tune your mind to today. Everything that I'm going to say to you after here in about 5 minutes, if your mind isn't ready for it, if your heart is like stone or like the path, it's not going to work out for you. And you're going to think what I'm telling you doesn't work. But I'm telling you, these are biblical principles that if you apply these things, man, you might be there for 20, 30 years. I hope not. Here we go. It says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I'm on verse 3, I have given to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. God has already promised all of this territory to them. He's just reminding them. He's just reminding them of this territory, this promise. And then, but this is where I want you to know, is that as you get ready to do this, as you get ready to make this transition, anybody ever tried to change something? Their way of thinking, their mindset, their habits, their eating. Anybody ever tried to change for the better? The verse today in the Bible app was to take care of your body. The Lord's temple. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to take care of my body. I've tried to do it over and over and over again, but this is a great promise that God gave Joshua that I want to use in verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. There's going to be some obstacles that you face as you're trying to become the God. Because remember, we're focusing on becoming who God created us to be. I believe that you're constantly becoming. So it's like, oh, I just am who I am. This is how I act, and this is what I do. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the gift, the seed that God placed inside of you. Is it bearing fruit in the world today? And God says, first I need you to arise. Then I need you to go over. I need you to leave behind this life, this time of testing. You have to physically leave behind this place. They haven't done it yet. He's preparing them for what's to come. And then he says, just know this. No man, no force, no enemy, no power, no dominion will ever be able to stand in your way as you move into this place. All the days of your life, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Oh my goodness, this is the one that really sometimes, oh my goodness. Don't you feel alone? I can be in a room full of people and feel alone sometimes. I can be in a coliseum and feel alone sometimes. But God Himself sometimes can find you in that one spot right there in the depths of your heart, and you'd be like, oh man, you real. And you know He real, but when He keeps coming back over and over and over again, reminding you, can anybody relate to those feelings? He will never leave you nor forsake you. And these are some of the things that you got to talk to yourself about. God will never leave me nor forsake me. God, it looks like I'm going through this alone. It feels like the walls are caving in on me, God. It feels like my relationship is getting out of hand. It feels like my family members are going astray. It's looking like that the thing that you started, that you aren't going to bring it to completion. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. He says, be strong and of good courage, because now He's giving you some commands. There's some requirements that He's given us now. In order to become who God wants you to become, there's some specific requirements that He's given us now. He said, be strong and very courageous. In this verse 6, I wish some of you had your Bibles. He said, be strong and of good courage. For to this people shall divide an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. You got to be strong going through this thing. God is going to be blessing you. And you know what's going to happen when God starts blessing you? Trials come. Oh my goodness. Trials come. He said, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7. I hear you, baby. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. So first thing, for those of you taking notes, this is where I want you at. This is where I want you at, for those of you taking notes. God, taking possession of the promise has some requirements. First thing, you have to arise. That's mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You have to make a decision to cross over and leave the place that you are. If you don't make that decision, we supposedly made it when we became Christians, right? And it's like some people made it a long time ago and then they like stopped making it and then they just like keep going down this path. But you have to make the decision to leave or to cross over from the place where you are. You got to get up, you got to cross over. That's one. The second thing that God has commanded us to do is to be strong and courageous. But there's a reason why we have to be strong and courageous. Yeah, there's going to be enemies. There's going to be days you don't feel like doing what I'm about to tell you that God wants us to do. There's going to be some days where you'd rather go party. There's going to be some days where you'd rather miss church. There's going to be some days where you'd rather tell that person off. There's going to be some days where you'd rather take things into your own strength. There's going to be some days where you'd rather say, you know what, I'm forgiven anyway. I'll try again tomorrow. God says, be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. That's verse 6. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. And I found this intriguing, because God says if you don't turn over to the left or to the right, but if you obey my word, if you follow my word, that you will prosper. Remember what we talked about prospering. It's not necessarily money. Could be. It could be in your destiny to be rich. It could be in your destiny to be in full health. It could be in your destiny to get that job. It could be in your destiny to have a family full of kids. It could be in your destiny to be single. Whatever God's destiny, whatever His design, when you find that sweet spot, all of those carnal things, all of those things that the world tells us to value beyond God, when you find that sweet spot that God has for you, you're gonna prosper. That's why we shouldn't be seeking after the things that the world tells us to seek after. We gotta seek after the things that the Creator tells us to seek after for ourselves, and then you will find that alignment that God has for your life. He says, but you gotta arise. You gotta decide that you're gonna stop living for yourself. You're gonna stop following after what the world tells you to do. You're gonna stop allowing the TV and the news to guide your thinking and allow the Word to guide your thinking. He says, you gotta stop doing the things that I've told you to put away for a long time and being day by day. It's a day by day struggle. He said, if you do this and be strong and courageous, you will be careful to obey. You won't go to the left or to the right. He says, I need you to get ready, Joshua, because you're going into a fight. You're going into a fight. How many of you are in a fight right now? Man, I'm in a fight. I'm telling you what. Man, my brothers are a blessing to me. My life, my wife, my family have been a blessing, but I am in a fight right now, and it's only escalating. It's escalating. Like, it's not diminishing. It's not weakening. Like, the fight is getting stronger. When I'm considering whether I'm going to preach and teach, the fight is strong. Trust me. Verse 8, he says, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth. You know what? I need some more of y'all to speak the word to me. I need you to speak the word. You got a powerful, see, you powerful. Everyone knows it, right? Yes? That mouth. Quick. Powerful. He's putting his head down because he don't even want to comment on it. You know what I'm saying? But God gave, that's a gift though. That's a gift. And God wants you to use His gift for His purposes. He wants you to use it for His purposes. I need you to speak the word. You see me looking crazy? Speak the word to me. You got to use the gift. Speak the word to Him. Speak the word to your mama. Speak the word to your father. Speak the word. Whenever you go into Scripture, you should always go into Scripture looking at, okay, how do I, what is God saying to me, and how do I apply this thing? And how can I spur someone else on in their journey? Like, that's how you go into this thing. And so, he said, do not let the word depart from your mouth. This is something that I'm, even though I preach and teach, I don't do it enough. And so, since I've been studying this, I've been trying to do it more often. I have this coworker of mine. She's a pastor. And she always asks me how I'm doing. And I say, oh, I'm hanging in there. She's like, nope, you're not hanging. You're pressing through. You know, she always gives me some scriptural way to describe my state of being. And at first, it used to be annoying. I'm like, you can't tell me how I'm feeling right now. But then as I started studying this, I said, oh, that's what she's doing. So do not let the word, the book of law, depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And that's where I've been meditating in it day and night. And when I was a kid, I used to read that. I'm like, man, God, that's impossible to meditate in this thing day and night. I'm starting to see it's more possible than what I thought it was. Because if you're actually in the presence of God, the Word of God is going to be before you throughout your day. If you have to study the word in order for it to be in your mouth, you have to read it, you have to ingest it, you have to. But that word meditate is interesting because it's not like Eastern meditation where you just sit there and try to clear your mind. It's actually when this meditation that he's talking about is where you take a verse or a biblical truth and you allow it to just sit in your mind and you just let it ruminate. You just let it kind of just stir inside of you. And God said, you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. There it is. And then you will have good success. Anybody need good success? Yes. He says, have I not commanded you be strong and of good courage? Why did he say it three times? Because he knows that everything that he's saying is going to require strength, endurance. You're going to become afraid. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's to press through even though you're afraid. If you don't feel like doing it, you need strength. If you want to do it but you're afraid to move forward, you need courage. And so God is telling you, he's like, look, be strong and courageous in this thing. He really gave us some basic instructions. Get up, Make the decision to move over into the next place. Make the decision. We have to make a decision to live God's best life. To eat the things we're supposed to eat. To surround ourselves with the people we're supposed to surround ourselves with. To do the things in the ministry that we're supposed to do. That's a decision we have to make. So we make this decision. Then God says, be strong and courageous because I know you're going to want to give up. I know you want to go backwards. He said, be strong and courageous. I know you're going to have enemies that you come in contact with. The number one enemy is our mind. There's enemies probably in your mind right now resisting what I'm saying. It's the enemy. The enemy would love for you. The number one thing is he can't take you if you're already God's. But he can stop you from walking in your purpose. He can. Because we have to make a decision to walk in purpose. We have to make a decision to be God's best. We have to make a decision. And he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That's the last command that he's given us. So he said, arise, cross over. Be strong and very courageous. Okay? Meditate on my word day and night. Do not let the word depart from your mouth. He said, do not be afraid nor dismayed. That word dismayed is like discouraged. I love that place where it talks about being discouraged. Because when you're discouraged, that's God telling you that you need to appropriate everything else that I just got done telling you. He's showing you, he's giving you this boundary, he's giving you a vision, he's giving you these boundary lines. And when you start to get discouraged, you're moving outside of these boundary lines. And God wants you to come back into focus of, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's calling you to become the person he created you to be. This is the call. It's always been the call. And in closing, I want to share this verse with you. I want to share this verse with you in closing. So if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. And this is that's all me. That's my set point. For real. Today and into the as far as I can see future. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's Colossians 3:1-4. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your love and for your compassion. I thank you for just revelation. We don't always feel the best. We aren't always walking and being everything that you created us to be. But God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice for us. God, we thank you for the access that we have to you. We thank you for the love and grace and mercy that you continue to pour on us, God, despite sometimes our laziness, our disobedience. But God, we honor you. We praise you. We thank you. Help us to be who you created us to be, God. Help us, even whether we're young or old, God, help us to walk and be who you created us to be day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, God. Help us to commune with you. Help us to fellowship with you. Help us to restore that relationship. Help us to find the deepest yearning that we're feeling in our hearts, God. Help us to find it. Your word says that when we seek you, we will seek you and find you when we seek you with all of our hearts, Father. Teach us, Lord God, what it means to seek you with all of our hearts. God, we trust you. We surrender to you. Change us. Help us to become who you created us to be. God, we want your best for us. God, bless this fellowship. Bless this time that we have together. We pray that you will continue to keep us and that your spirit would rest, rule, and abide in us henceforth and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.